Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Well, good morning. My name is Matt. Welcome to Vintage Faith. Excited to see everyone. I like your new haircut. Looking good. I have hair envy for sure right now. I have hair envy for you, and I have beard envy with Jacob, so I'm jealous in two ways. It's good to be with you guys today, and I'm excited to preach. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to be putting a watermelon up here. I'm going to hit it with a sledgehammer. So welcome to the splash zone. You first two rows, be prepared. I hope you don't like your clothing. Run to the thrift store right afterwards, pick up something new. Charge it to Carlos. We are in a series right now called Under Construction, because we are under construction as a church, but also as a people, we are under construction. God is currently, right now, he is at work in your life, whether you know it or not, and whether you're aware of it or not, God is at work in your life. And in all the busyness and all the hurriedness of life, we can miss the fact that God is actually doing something in us. And these are the things, the sorts of things that God is doing in your life right now. He is currently building and establishing new values and disciplines and goals and dreams. It's kind of like a computer. You're downloading new programs to operate by which. And at the same time, he's also erasing and deleting things in your life that may be harmful. He may be deleting things and subtracting things that may be damaging to you, or just simply things that are unnecessary in your life. Can you think of maybe one thing in your life that you would like to kind of leave behind? Just think of one, okay? Yeah, so that might be a challenge. I can think of many things I would like to leave, and I can think of many things that I'm pressing on towards. And I think that's what it means to be maturing as a person who is following after God, that new things are entering your life. There are new things that God is bringing unto you that you get to entertain and walk in. And at the same time, he's kind of saying, hey, you shouldn't do this anymore. That's ridiculous. Do you feel like that a little bit? I hope that during your time with us at Vintage Faith that your journey looks like a little bit like that, that you are able to walk away and let go of some of those things that are childish in your life, and you are able to embrace some of those things that are more mature in your life. Because I hope that after you're here for a little while, that you grow in your relationship with Jesus, and you grow in your relationship with God, that you actually start to look and behave more like God would have you, right? That's kind of the goal. Today we get to look at a verse in the Old Testament, and actually today we get to wrap up the sermon series that we're in. And so today is the end of the Under Construction series. It's not the end of construction, but it is the end of the series. And so today we get to wrap it up. And it is simply this. It's one verse in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. It's Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. And let me read this verse to you, but you can look in your Bible or use your Bible app or whatever you use to read the Bible. But I'm going to read it to you anyways. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, it says this, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." This should give us a little bit of perspective of what it means for God to be working in our lives. God is the potter, we are the clay, we are the work of his hands. God is constantly kind of shaping us. He's constantly building us up and constantly seemingly tearing us down. He's always at work inside of us. Isaiah offers us this beautiful statement, and the premise is simply this. God is like a potter, and we are like clay, and God is shaping us as he wishes. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for clay to tell the potter what to do? I mean, and I think that's how we live a lot of our lives. We tell God, God, you have free reign in my life as long as you do A, B, and C alone, and make sure you don't do this, this, and this. So this should realign our priorities. God is the potter. He is the one that forms us, and we are the clay. We are the moldable, hopefully flexible ones that God is shaping into what he desires us to be like. Wouldn't it be a shame to live your whole life and to accomplish everything you've ever dreamt of? And miss accomplishing the things that God had created you to do. That's one of my, it's not a fear of mine, but I'm aware of the fact that I could be successful in my dreams and never accomplish God's dreams for my life. I don't want to get there someday and God say, you did all the things you set your mind to, you accomplished. Good job, Matt. But you missed the things that I created you uniquely to do. I don't want to miss those things. I don't want you to miss those things. This verse tells me that God is the potter and we are the clay. We are the work of his hands. For anyone curious what role God wants to play in your life, this sermon will be for you. For anyone curious how God can best use you, this will be for you too. I think God wants to teach us something profound today. And as you hear this sermon, you're not only actually going to get to hear a sermon today, you're going to get to see a sermon today. This is going to be super interesting. Not today. You're not just going to hear God's word. God's word isn't just going to be something that you learn about, but you're going to see this verse come to life. And so it is with a great anticipation and fear and trembling that we get to do something a little bit unique today. I'm actually going to be teaching this verse to you a little bit more eloquently. And in front or behind me, my friend Brian is actually going to be shaping pottery while I talk about this process of the potter and the clay. Brian, they're excited already. So can you welcome Brian as he comes up? Brian and I, our relationship goes back, you know, days. I'll let him set up as I talk. I went to Facebook, as we do when we want to get something accomplished, and I went to the Culver City Facebook page, and I put a comment. I said, in search of someone that owns a pottery wheel and the ability to shape pottery. I really needed both of those things. And so a couple people commented to me, and they said, call this pottery place, call this place. And I did. I called them, and it wasn't working out. But one person commented, and she said, I don't own a pottery wheel, and I don't form pottery, but I know someone that does. And he said it's okay to pass on his number. Enters Brian into the conversation. So I called Brian. I told a little bit about what I wanted to do. And reluctantly, and then I persuaded him. But together, I think we decided that this would be a fun thing to do. And so Brian is here as well as his wife and one of his children, his daughter, is here today too. So happy to have him. And turns out we're neighbors. And it turns out we live just several blocks away. We're going to reconvene at Menchie's later today to celebrate how well this goes, right? Okay. This one verse of scripture, you are the potter, we are the clay, we are the work of your hands. I want to try to help us give a visual of what this process really looks like. By looking at the pottery process, we can learn a lot about this verse. You may not be all that familiar with pottery and spinning pottery or throwing pottery. I don't know how you say it. Clearly, I'm not the potter. He is. And in this illustration, the bearded man is God, of course. Suits you well, Brian. Today, we're not going to just hear God's word, but you're going to get to see it. So as I talk, just feel free to just look and watch what he's doing. Pottery and forming pottery, it's a process. It doesn't just happen. You don't just look at clay and snap your fingers and some sort of vessel emerges. There's a process that clay must go through in order for it to get shaped into what the potter wants it to be. Okay? So in the back of your mind, I want you to be remembering that God is the potter and we are the clay. We are the work of his hands. Here's one more thing. I think God wants us to teach us something today. Don't just watch today. I want you to watch with an understanding that God may be trying to get your attention in some way. And as I wrap up the sermon today, I'm actually going to ask some of you to share what you think God is encouraging you with today. So be prepared to learn something today. Again, we're not a church that just wants, we don't want just to throw information at you and then let you run out of here to go to Chipotle. We want you to actually encounter the living God, that he would transform our lives. And that happens not just from listening, but applying the things we're learning. So I ask you to listen with an understanding that God wants to get your attention today. Anyways, pottery is a process. And the first step in the process is, well, you need clay, of course. It would be very boring. There's no clay involved. And the first step is really the wedging of the clay, and you're going to see him start to wedge the clay. Brian and I met the other day and we talked about this. We've talked several times and I've kind of interviewed him about the process of forming pottery. But the first step is the wedging of the clay. You can see him pushing the clay into itself. And there's a reason that this happens. It's not just to work on his forearms to get himself ready to start shaping the clay, but there's a purpose behind the wedging of the clay. And it is because clay has inconsistencies in it. Sometimes clay has different materials in it that you don't want in it. You don't want a piece of straw. You don't want a piece of dirt. You don't want a rock in the clay. So this wedging of the clay gives you the chance to identify impurities that you want to get out of the clay before you shape the pottery. It also helps the clay work itself together because the clay can have different consistencies based on where it came from. So the working of the clay together, it makes it, and a good word for us today is it gives the clay integrity. It helps the clay be the same all the way around. You don't want a piece of clay that is dry and hard on one side and soft and mushy on the other side. You're not going to be able to form something very well. The molding, the shaping, the force, the leverage that the potter uses, it's not just for his own workout. It's actually to get the clay ready to be formed in something. And what this means for us is that we should allow God to move in our lives because he is creating integrity in us. Have you ever felt like God is pushing you in a certain direction? It wasn't because he just wants to push you around. It's because he is working. He is working integrity into your life. He's working consistency into your life. And this is what happens, church, is that we resist God's pushing in our life. When we resist God pushing in our lives, we are left being inconsistent people. And God can't form in us something flawless when he starts with something that has inconsistencies and imperfection in it. So he wants to push in us. You ever felt like God is pushing in your life and you're like, that hurts. I don't want to learn about that. I don't want to talk about that. I'm frustrated that you brought that to my attention. Anybody in the room? It can be very painful when you feel like God is highlighting a quality in your life or he's highlighting something in you that you're not proud of. That he exposes something that is tender to you. But he exposes the things that are tender in our lives, not to shame us or guilt us, but he wants to remove those impurities because he has a purpose in mind, and those impurities are going to get in the way of his divine purposes for your life. Is this preaching to anybody today? In high school, I took a pottery class like many of you did, and I formed a dish that really looked horrible. And I was going to use it to give water to my dog. And I didn't go through all the steps. I didn't wedge the clay like I should have. I just kind of took the clay, I folded it over itself, and I made my dish. And then when my dish got put into the kiln to get fired, to get hardened, what happened to my dish was my dish actually exploded in the kiln. And it was destroyed. And not only was my piece of art, I use the term loosely, not only was my art destroyed in the process, but when my piece of art shattered and the little pieces shot around the kiln, other pieces of art that were very wonderfully made ended up getting damaged too. Wow. It's not cool to be the guy in art class who didn't spend the time going through the right steps. And what happened was that what I had created was destroyed. And not only was it hurt and damaged, but the other things around it got hurt and got damaged. Let me just tell you what this means for us. If we don't allow God to work deeply in our lives, to remove the impurities, to create integrity in us, he can form something beautiful, but when the pressure hits, it'll get destroyed. And you've seen this in your life where there have been weaknesses of integrity in your life. You've seen how that has damaged and has hurt you, how it has set your life back. But you have also seen how weaknesses in your life, imperfections in your life, impurities in your life, when undealt with and when the fire of life hits, you've seen how those things also hurt the people you care the most that are close to you. Am I preaching to anybody? Am I the only one who has not done the hard work in my life, allowing God to identify the impurities? I've rushed the steps. I've gone through too fast. And when it comes to the fire and the pressures of life, I've crumbled. And not only was I left damaged, but I actually end up hurting the people that I love the most or the closest to me. That's why the wedging is so important. Brian told me something as I interviewed him. I asked him about the clay. And he said the grittiness of the clay has a purpose. I just kind of thought about that for a second. The grittiness of the clay has a purpose. The grittiness of the clay actually allows the clay to be pulled and brought up like it should. What this may mean for us is you've got some rough parts of your life. Come on. You've got some rough parts of your life, some parts of your personality, who you are, that you feel like is a little bit rough. Did you know, just for a second, that God might have given you those rough qualities? That God actually may, the things that you look at about who you are and you say, oh, I really wish I wasn't this way, that God might have made you that way. There's a redemptive quality to the rough qualities that God has given you. Should I say it again? Because this will make you think a little bit. I don't want to hurt anybody. Some of the ways that God has made you, the parts of your attributes that you may be embarrassed of or ashamed of or that draw out negative things in you, that God may have given you those qualities for a purpose to shape you. So if we just want God to remove all the grittiness out of our lives, he can't actually pull us and draw us into the person he wants us to be. So we should embrace our weaknesses. We should embrace the rough sides of ourselves because God has a way to redeem those qualities for his glory. Amen. Point number two, this is fun. This is going great, Brian. We should do this again. Point number two, and you saw it earlier, is the placement on the wheel. The placement on the wheel is really important. To put the clay in an unbalanced place is going to lead to a vessel that looks like something I would form. It will be horrible looking. Placement is really, really important. The positioning of the clay is really important. And potters, they call it centering the clay. You probably saw him do this after he wedged the clay. He plopped it on the wheel and then he pushed his hands in and formed it. He got it to be in such a centered place. It looks like it's stationary, not even moving, but it's so centered that even as it's spinning, it looks like it's staying in one place. And being centered is an important part of making a pottery. And being centered as a people is a very important quality that God looks for in us so that he can shape us. He wants us to be centered and balanced people. If the clay isn't centered, the process will be disastrous. And Brian said this, he told me, he said, if the clay isn't centered properly, you will get a collapse, without a doubt. In our verse, God is the potter and we are the clay. Therefore, God positions us. We don't tell God where we are supposed to go, or we don't tell God who we are supposed to be. We don't tell God where we want our lives to take root. We allow God to position us as he wishes. This is actually a theme throughout the whole Bible, is that God is orchestrating, he has intervened, he has overseen our position in life. You don't live in Culver City, Inglewood, Santa Monica, just our arbitrarily. God has planted you. He has positioned you right where you are because he wants you to thrive and grow and be formed into the thing that he wants you to be formed into. God's people, the Israelites, they bounce around all over the time and they criticize God, saying, you don't know what you're doing. But every time it is God who has led them to that place. God has positioned them in that place to be fruitful. When we start getting upset about where we are in life, it's essentially telling God, the potter, you didn't put me in the right position. Do you know wherever God has placed you, he can form you. Wherever you have placed yourself, you are destined to experience a collapse in your life. And this is why being, you know, a little plug for Vintage Faith. This is why having a home church is so important. We need something to center us. I'm always a little bit leery when people come to our church who have gone to umpteen million churches before arriving with us. That tells me that's someone who doesn't want to be planted. That tells me that's someone who doesn't want to be rooted. That tells me that's someone who has a fear of being really known. And our church, I mean, welcome. This is my living room. This is where you get to be real and authentic. Truly you and all your imperfections and all your gloriousness. Being positioned and being placed and allowing God to position you, not resisting his placement, is super important. Step number three is we have the role of the potter. There would be a very, very big difference between a piece of pottery that I create and a piece of pottery that Brian creates. If you all turned around and I formed a piece of pottery and I put it up here, you would be able to tell right away which dog dish is mine and which beautiful vessel he has created. There's a very big difference in skill and in quality and in patience between the potter and the guy who doesn't know what he's really doing. You see, one of us is extremely skilled and talented at what they're doing, and the other one is Matt. And when we think about God being our potter, we have to realize that God is altogether better in every single way than you are. Hallelujah. I mean, don't be offended by the statement, but he's just altogether more skilled and more equipped to form you than you are to form yourself. Just let me tell you a couple things, and I wanted to read a whole bunch of verses, but I just want you to read Psalm 145. You'll get the gist of it. But here are some of God's attributes and some of God's characteristics that make him a better potter than you, okay? He is infinite. That means he is before everything. You are finite. He is unchangeable. You change all the time. He is self-sufficient. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. He is all-present. He is wise. He is faithful. He is good. He is just, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is compassionate, he is all loving. Yes. When we surrender our lives to the hands of the potter, we are surrendering our lives to the creator of the universe, who is all the more equipped to shape and form us than we are to shape and form ourselves. Yeah. See, the skill and the qualities of the potter creates the bar for what the potter can create. If you want to be shaped by anything else other than God, that person, that situation, whatever it may be that is shaping you is the standard by which you can be shaped. You can't be any greater than the potter that is shaping you. We should submit our lives to the potter. Say, God, would you shape me and form me as you would want to shape me and form me? Don't allow the situations in life form me. Don't allow him or her to shape me. You are the one that shapes me because you are everything abundantly more than I could ever be, than anybody here on earth could ever be. Surrendering our lives to the shaping of the potter is the best way to look and start to carry on the attributes of the potter. When we allow to God to shape us and form us, we are letting ourselves be molded in the hands of someone that is in every way better equipped to shape us. Trusting God to shape us is really scary because it is taking over the control. It is surrendering the control to shape ourselves and form ourselves as we desire or as we think other people desire us to be. God has something unique and beautiful to make out of your life, but he can only make something unique and beautiful out of your life if your life is yielded and surrendered to the true potter. Step number four. So we had the clay, we had the positioning, we had the qualities of the potter. And this one is we have the process. Brian finds great joy and satisfaction in creating pottery. And I think God finds great joy and great satisfaction in shaping and forming us. Pottery is something that Brian enjoys. It's a way that he expresses his creative side. It's a way he processes his stress. It's a way that it's how he is who God made him to be, by shaping and creating. And God longs. He is an infinitely creative creator. So when he is creating new things in our lives, he is walking in his wheelhouse. He is truly being who he really is when he is given the free rein to create in us. A piece of clay has everything it needs to be everything that God has called it to be. You already have everything you need to be everything that God has called you to be. You don't need to add anything into your life to be what God can work with. Every quality is already there. It's just as the clay is your life yielded and surrendered to the potter. That's the only real question. You don't have to add anything to your life. You don't have to take anything to your life. You just have to surrender your life to the craftsmanship of the potter. There's a couple things here that I want to talk about. And the first thing is this, is in order to shape a vessel, there has to be some pressure. So Brian can't just wave his hands around the clay and just have it be there. Wouldn't that be easier? Yeah, just do it, yeah. Pressure plays an important part in creating a vessel on a pottery wheel. And in the same way, pressure plays an important part in you becoming who God has called you to be. So this is what this may mean for us. When you run away from pressure that God puts in your life, it shouldn't be a surprise to you that you are left unchanged all the time. That's why we should allow the pressure that God brings in our life to work itself out in our lives. Because when we resist the pressure that God brings, you're not going to get shaping. You're going to be left unchanged. And I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. So when we run away from pressure, we don't allow God to do the deep work he needs to do in our lives. And when we abandon the pressure and abandon the discomfort of life for comfort, it's no surprise that our lives aren't changed at all. And if you would say today, well, my life has been like this forever. No, I mean, that's just how it's always been. It might be, it may be, it's highly possible that you've just avoided the pressures and the conflicts and the challenges of walking in relationship with Jesus, because those are the things that tend to shape us the most. Right. Number two, and this is something that Brian brought to mind, is rest plays an important part in the pottery process. Brian was telling me that when you make pottery, sometimes what you're creating, it gets to a stage where the clay isn't very workable anymore. Sometimes the clay gets really wet, or it gets just too flexible to work with. And so the potter can take the disc of clay and he can remove it to the side. And the potter can put it to the side for a little while, because while the clay is not being worked, the clay actually sets up again and becomes more firm. It becomes more moldable. Let me tell you what this means for us. If you've ever felt like God was working in your life and then all of a sudden the voice went quiet, if you felt like God was active in your life, he heard your prayers and all of a sudden just it went tone deaf, just nothing anymore. And this is what you thought. You thought, God has abandoned me. God has left me alone. He was active and moving and powerful in my life. And all of a sudden he just disappeared all out, just vanished in front of me. It may not be that God has vanished. It may be that God has given you a chance to rest, because he has great things he still wants to form in you. And if you won't allow the rest to work itself in your life, then he is going to have a harder time shaping you. Yeah. Right? Can I, just from my own story, that has been a point of tension in my life, of God is being active and real, and I feel like God's presence is just there with me, and then all of a sudden, zoom, it just all stops. The ability to hear his voice and feel his leading just evaporates like a mist. In front of me. And it's not because God has left me. It might be because God has given me the chance to rest a little bit, because he wants to shape me something even more beautiful than what he's already made. Amen. See, the clay tries to take over as the potter when the clay starts to criticize the works of the potter. Some of you are in that season where you feel like one of these vessels. You're over on the side. You're pushed out over here. And it might just be that God actually wants to shape in you something even more beautiful, but you must embrace the season of rest that he is gifting you with, so that he can create in you afresh. Is that anybody in the room?
Yeah.
One of the things about pottery that, I mean, it's so much fun to see something come to life, right? Like, that was a blob of dirt, and now it's a beautiful vase. Has anyone ever felt like life just kind of comes and things just get more and more difficult, and the pressure of life just starts to settle in, and all of a sudden that what was beautiful and what? Oh, no. Oh. Is this a good picture of how you feel sometimes? What God had made that was beautiful and something you were very proud of in your life, that all of a sudden just circumstances outside your control came and crushed something that mattered deeply to you, something that was very valuable to you. I think we can all think of times in our lives where this is a better depiction of how we feel than this. The glimmer in Brian's eye right now is that he has the opportunity to reshape something beautiful out of that mess.
Amen.
Do you know that God looks at you the same way? And he looks at you, and when you feel destroyed and broken and shattered, whatever the circumstances may be, you feel like your life has imploded in on you and nothing's ever going to be the same again. The potter is not concerned about any of the things that you're concerned about, because the potter knows, all I have to do is wedge this clay again. All I've got to do is go back to work and start afresh. I can remold. I can take what was broken and desperate and shattering in your life, and I can reframe you and rebuild you into something unique and different than you used to be before. Only the potter can do that. So the next time you feel like your life just crumbles around you, I don't know what it may be, that phone call, that diagnosis, that conversation, whatever it is that has come into your life, and you can think of a couple that had the potential to reshape you into brokenness and harm, God can take all those things and reshape something beautiful out of your life. Amen. You are never so far gone that God can't wedge you back into shape. He can't recenter you again. He can't reestablish you again. And he can't put you back on the wheel again. That he can create something new out of your life. Is this good news to anybody? Yes. Brian told me that it's really hard to make two pieces of pottery exactly the same. He said his wife has been asking him to make items. Oh, I said that out loud. She... Brian didn't say that. Brian didn't say that. Imagine this guy named Brian. No. But Brian was saying that his wife had asked him to make pieces of pottery that are similar so they would look the same. And Brian told me that that's really hard to do. It's really hard to mimic something that has already been made. And I think actually you just shouldn't even try to mimic something that's already been made. See, the uniqueness of what the potter makes is part of the beautiful part of what makes it beautiful. It isn't that Brian just makes only one thing. He only makes dog dishes. He makes all sorts of creations because he is infinitely creative in what he forms and makes. So the fact that you don't look like and behave like anybody else in this room isn't a sign that you are broken. It is a sign that you are uniquely and wonderfully made. Yes. What actually rallies us together isn't the fact that we all look alike, talk alike, sing alike, sin alike, whatever it may be. The fact that the thing that rallies us together isn't that we are all the same. It is that we are unique. The thing that we can center on is that we have all surrendered our lives to the one potter who forms us. Because I know lots of churches that everyone looks the same. Everyone acts the same. We all do the same thing. But actually, to be uniquely who God has called you to be means you should look and you should have a different function. You would want to put jelly beans in here. You're not going to want to put flowers in here. Different creations have different purposes. That is why you're different than the person sitting next to you, because you have a different purpose. And God longs for you to walk in the unique purpose that he's called you to walk into. He hasn't formed you and shaped you and fired you just to put you on the shelf to be observed. You have a purpose to fulfill. The wedging of the clay. God working integrity in our lives. That might be something you want to be able to pay attention to. The idea that God centers us, that he positions us, that might be helpful for you today. The fact that God, the potter, is altogether better equipped to shape and form us than you are may be news for you today. The reality that God could form and shape and create, and then he puts you to the side, it isn't to punish, but is actually because he has greater things in store for you, may be good news for you today. The realization that something beautiful can get destroyed and recreated into something with new purpose, that might be good news for you today. Can you think of one thing that you heard today that is good news to you? What was it? What was the good? who wants to be really brave? Because I think there's something about sharing what God is revealing to you that could be an encouragement to somebody else who's having a hard time hearing right now. What is it? Yeah, Pat. You can be totally destroyed and God can rebuild you. That is great news. What else we got? What else did you hear today? What did the scripture remind you about today? He can remold your life. And Gracie, he has, hasn't he? Yes. What else? Balcony, you guys want to participate today? Shane? It's okay to rest. It's okay to rest. Yeah. Isn't that good news? Yeah. All the striving in the world won't help Christ's character come out in your life. Some of us just need to exhale and allow him to let us rest. We live in a culture that the more we do, the more valuable you are, right? If you're not active, then you're not productive. Not so in the kingdom of God. Some of us just need to experience rest. Yeah, it's great news. Bernadette, do you have something? Yeah, that is great news. We live in a culture where comparison can ruin our lives. I wish I was charismatic like so-and-so. I wish I was handsome like this person. I wish I could dance like Timothy. I wish I could, whatever it may be. Comparison. Comparison has a way of just robbing us of being uniquely who God has called us to be.
That's right.
Anybody else want to be brave?
Come on.
Jeannie, your grittiness is good.
Come on.
Yeah, so good. Jeannie, you're the least gritty person I know. Yes. He's better at shaping us than we are. Yeah, that's great. Yes, sweetie. That's right. You're never too far gone. I think a great potter could take the driest, junkiest piece of clay and wedge it back into shape and create something new. There's no amount of brokenness or impurities that even scares the potter. I think the potter looks at our brokenness and he goes, I can't believe it. I can't believe what I get to work with.
Amen.
You have everything you need. Isn't that a relief?
Amen.
You don't have to get good at anything before God can use you. That's really good. In my experience, the shaping that God does in my life, I can't think of moments where God intervened directly and shaped and formed me, but I can think of many, many instances where God used people to shape me. That seems to be the way that God works on our planet. That's why we exist as a church, that God is working through our lives so that his goodness is made very evident and very real. I wish it was the other way around, that God with a deep voice would just shout down and give me directions. I've prayed that way. I said, God, just give me direction and just, I want to hear your voice. You know, Charlton Heston, just some sort of deep, you know, something just profound that I would know. But it seems like God doesn't often direct me that way, but God often does direct me through his people.
Amen.
And so being in a community and knowing each other is so important. The Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we've talked about this before, but if you want to be sharpened, you got to be close.
Yep.
If you wanted to sharpen two knives together, you have to do them closely, not far away. Right. You look like an idiot fighting somebody who's not there. And so it takes proximity, it takes closeness, it takes being known, it takes doing life together. And fortunately, we understand this about how God shapes in us. And so I want to encourage you, these life groups that are coming up, if you feel like you've been in a season of drought, that God isn't very present, he is very present, and he most likely wants to show himself through the people you are doing life with. So I want to encourage you that these life groups are a tremendous opportunity to know and be known by other people and just to enjoy people, ask questions, have fun. The Growth Track, which is today, if you're here today and you haven't been through Growth Track, this is one of the first steps to getting involved here at church. And then the She Conference coming up is going to be such a great thing. So if you're a lady in the room, you need to sign up quickly. They actually have a cap on how many ladies can actually come, so you want to make sure you get involved soon. Can I pray? Will you stand with me? Well, God, today I pray that you have spoken to us, and there are definitely words that I said, and there's even been a demonstration behind me about what it looks like to be shaped and formed by the potter. But God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today, that something of encouragement would have happened in us that helps us to long for more of you, that we would be in some way surrendered to you, that we would allow ourselves to be molded and shaped by you, that we would stop resisting and fighting against the things you want to do in our lives. We would live lives yielded to you. God, I pray right now that you would start to work every impurity, every imperfection out of our lives. God, give us the sensitivity to actually not only hear and discern these areas of our lives that are harmful, but we would actually be empowered to do something about it. So God, I pray against every form of addiction, every ounce of guilt and shame that would seek to rob us of the future you have for us. Help us to walk in integrity and consistency in our lives, God. And God, I pray that we would allow our lives to be centered and grounded as you would position us. Help us to actually thrive where we've been placed. That we wouldn't be looking over the fence to something better or different. That we'd actually live a full and abundant life exactly here, exactly now, exactly where you've planted us. And God, we thank you that our potter is altogether more skilled and equipped to shape us than we are. So God, we repent and we turn away from trying to make our lives look the way we would want them to look like. And we surrender our lives to you, Jesus. And God, we ask that we would be a people that embrace the seasons of rest in our lives. That we'd be a people that we're not afraid and we don't crumble when it seems like you're far. But we would trust that you're ever present in our times of need. And God, for those of us that feel like we've been shattered and broken, and what was once beautiful has just been defaced to a point of unrecognizable, God, we recognize that you are the potter and that you can actually wedge us and shape us and form us and center us all again. So God, help us to embrace that process that you want to do in our lives. God, we pray that we'd be a church that reflects your goodness and your uniqueness, that we don't have to be like anybody else. We just have to be who you've called us to be. Help us to enjoy the purposes you have for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before we leave, can we just thank Brian?